We'll appreciate the Lord's faithfulness and blessings unto us. We need the Lord's help this morning that He'll bless and make His word alive to each one of our hearts. Make it real, make it more than words, and certainly more than my words. Interested in what the Lord has to say unto us this morning. I'd like to begin in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. I have a burden and an inspiration this morning to speak to us about our heavenly home. Do you think about it very often? Do you ever find that as loved ones go on that heaven seems that much sweeter? I'd like to look at Hebrews 11, consider familiar passage here. Beginning in the 13th verse, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. The idea behind being a stranger and a pilgrim is that it's not permanent. I'm not a permanent citizen. I'm not here to stay. I'm just transitory. I'm just moving through. I don't really belong here. I'm not really anchoring myself. I'm not really setting down roots permanently. It is a recognition that I'm only passing through here to something, it says, better. They sought a better country. They sought something beyond this. Well, they had promises that they were looking unto, that they believed in, that we in part are enjoying today in salvation through Christ. But I want us to be reminded and encouraged this morning that we too are strangers and pilgrims, that we ought to be willing and able to confess plainly that fact, that I recognize I'm not here to stay. This is not my permanent dwelling place, that I'm only passing through, that I have a destination in mind, and this ain't it. I'm looking for something that's better than this. A country. A heavenly. I'd like to look at 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Second Corinthians 4, and beginning with the 16th verse. For which cause we faint not. Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. We've got to be able to have a value system whereby we weigh the value of decisions and of things that come my way in life. Paul had a vision of something here that looked beyond what he felt and experienced and saw in the moment. And it became so real to him that he said, I suppose that these sufferings that I have right now, there's no comparison. It's not even on the same scale. And I would that by the Lord's help this morning that we could let our imagination, not just the wildness of our imagination, but may the Lord speak to our hearts of the reality of what is beyond what we can see right now. You don't have to close your eyes to imagine it, but may the Lord witness to our spirits this morning the reality of something that we cannot yet see with these eyes. Paul had a glimpse of that. He said, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal or temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I've seen some pretty magnificent houses, buildings, palaces, and temples in this earth. The magnificence of them in their size and their grandeur, the opulence of all the materials and the things that they're made with, that you really just walk up to it and marvel at the magnificence of that. You know it's temporary. It's almost like what you'd be able to think of a brother in Sri Lanka, some of you. Maybe it followed along and had the updates. He lived in just a little shack, a place that was falling down, and some chipped in to help build him a better house, something that would endure a little longer. And while that was in construction, he used the old materials that were from the old house that was torn down, and he erected a little lean-to that he could sleep under and have children's meeting under. It was temporary. It was just for a short space of time. It was okay because there was another building being built that was better than that. You know, of everything that we see in this world, it's temporary. And whenever, and I believe some of this language is spiritual language, just trying to convey to our minds that have only known by what we see earthly things. But when it talks about streets of gold, that's just the asphalt up in heaven. What we look at is so magnificent, and people spend their lives trying to accumulate is nothing compared to what we experience and have in heaven. It's certainly not what we should make our destination, our end goal. We shouldn't spend our lives and our souls for that which is only asphalt in heaven. Folks, we've got something better than this. We've got something far grander than this world has ever seen. What did Paul say? That eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, it's not entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. You get a glimpse of it from time to time. I pray the Lord to help us to get another glimpse of it this morning. It's an anchor to the soul. Look at the splendor of creation. I love seeing the waterfalls and the mountains and the oceans, and all untouched by human hand, that is just the hand of God's creation. It's magnificent. It's beautiful. In many cases, it's breathtaking. Folks, if He created all of that in an earth that one day will be dissolved in a moment, can you imagine what heaven will be? Can you imagine the beauty and the splendor of this place that is not just temporary, that's not just a tent for us to live in for a little while, but that is eternal in the heavens? We've not begun to see beauty yet. And He said here, the things that we see, the things that people so often live their lives to accumulate, it's just temporary. But the things that are not seen are eternal. We divide and subdivide the Bible these days in chapter and verse. It wasn't written in that way. If you read the next verse following this, for we know, do we know? Do we have an assurance? We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were to be dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. I am so thankful that there are some things that we can know and be assured of. One of the things that we're assured of is that this is the end of all mankind. It doesn't matter how rich or poor, how famous or how obscure our name, this end is coming to all of us. This house, this body is going to be laid down. It's going to go back to the dust. It's going to dissolve. And all that which we see with these eyes will as well. But thank the Lord we have a home. We have a building of God. It's not made with the hands of man. It is eternal in the heavens, never to pass away, never to tarnish, never to need a leak fixed in the roof, so to speak. It'll never deteriorate. It'll never go back to dust. It is eternal in the heavens. And it goes on without reading much more of this for time's sake. It says we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. I don't believe it's saying that we are to live a miserable, dissatisfied existence in this earth. But neither are we to live an existence that is so earthbound that I can't bear to look away from the things of earth long enough to imagine that one day I'll leave it. To think that the thing to be most dreaded is the moment when I draw my last breath. There's something better than that. There's a better way for us to live. And I shared some Wednesday evening of conversations I had in Sri Lanka just in the last week or two with some young men that were of a worldly religion. They were sharing the tenets of their belief and that the ultimate goal of their afterlife, as they believe it, is just to come to no existence. That in the cycle of reincarnation, eventually they get to a point where they just cease to exist, and that is the ultimate. Thank the Lord that is not the ultimate for the Christian. That we have a home beyond this earth and beyond this body that is eternal in the heavens. And as I reasoned some with those young men, I asked them, can you say of a surety that if your life were to end today, can you say without a doubt, I know what's going to happen to me. I know where I'm going. Are you able to say of an assurance? I'm thankful today that we have something more than a works-based religion. That we just try to earn our way into the best possible existence we can. To finally, maybe, reach the ultimate of nothingness. Thank the Lord, the plan of God is so much better than that. And we can know, we can be assured, that if this earthly house were to be dissolved, I know where I'm going. I know I've made my reservation. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's written in heaven. They're expecting me over there. And the day is drawing closer. I don't know when. I don't know how soon. But the day is drawing closer that I'm going home. The scripture says, I believe in Philippians, that our conversation is in heaven. That means our citizenship is in heaven. That's where our citizenship and our birthright really is. And we are entitled by birth in this earth to certain privileges that are afforded to U.S. citizens, or the citizens of whatever country people are born into. As a citizen, you're entitled to these benefits. And I thank the Lord for what we enjoy as Americans here. But it pales in comparison to the benefits that we can enjoy as citizens of a heavenly country. And you know what? Those benefits don't start the day we die. Those benefits begin right here, right now. Today, when we are born again, for when we are saved, Jesus told Nicodemus, when we are born again, or as the Greek renders it, that we are born from above. It is a heavenly birth. We are born a heavenly citizen. There is something of our nature that resembles not this earth, but heaven. Our spirit came from God, and to God it will return. That is the case for all mankind, but not all mankind will be judged by the grace of God to avail themselves of that grace and to make heaven their home. But it's waiting for us. And I'm going to tell you, there's a saying that says there's no place like home. And if you've been gone and away from home very long, some folks are homebodies and they don't like being away from the house overnight. I don't mind traveling. I enjoy seeing the world and feel that the Lord's called me to do some work like that. But there's still nothing quite like getting home. There's something that feels so familiar about opening the door to my own house. And I can go in and I can sit in my own chair and it's mine. And I can relax and let out a breath. My labors, my work is over. I'm home at last. The sounds are familiar. The sights are familiar. You know, I believe that it'll be that way with our heavenly home. That when we get over there, it'll be familiar. It's a place that we've never been. It's a sight that we've never seen. And yet, by the work the Lord has done within our hearts, folks, it's going to be familiar. We're going to get over there if we're faithful to the Lord. And I believe the sights are going to be familiar. I believe the sounds are going to be familiar. I believe that we'll feel like we're right at home. We're not going to have what they call imposter syndrome, to wonder if I really belong, to wonder if I somehow slipped in and I'm going to be evicted one day. Thank the Lord, we'll be able to know that I'm home, home at last. I'm home to stay. And whenever they check the book and say, yes, your name's written in here, enter thou into the joys of the Lord. The everlasting comforts and joys of the Lord. Well, there's so much the scriptures say about our heavenly home. We're not to get our eyes too fixed on this one, on this earth. Remember that it's temporary. It's transitory. Let's look at 1 John, the second chapter. First John chapter 2, 15th verse. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. All that we see, remember we read that which we see is temporary. What we see in this world will pass away. So don't love the things of this world. Believe one scripture said, as using and yet not abusing the things of this world. Let's not allow our hearts to get set on it. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And it said, let him seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Let's not allow our hearts to be set on the things of this world. Lord, help us to know how to use the things that are necessary, to realize that we are passing through. And I want to get my affections, my heart, my love set on things that are above. Jesus said, where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. Where are we putting our treasure? What are we investing in? We can invest in our 401k, and there's actually wisdom to those things. There's wisdom to having a savings account. There's wisdom to putting aside for tomorrow and going to the ant, thou sluggard, and making preparation for what might come. But what the scriptures teach us is that this is just temporary. This is the lesser of our priorities and certainly the shorter of our existence. Don't allow your heart to be set on the things of this world, on the systems of this world, on all the flash and the excitement of the things of this world. I believe it's a balance that the Lord has to teach and give us the grace daily to be able to maintain in our lives. Lord, help me to ever keep heaven in view. Lord, help me to keep things in proper check and balance in my life, that I not allow my heart to be set on these things, that I not allow my treasure to be invested entirely in this world. Folks, we're laying up treasures in heaven. People that work here, they're working for a payday. You know, Paul, I believe, said in maybe the prior passage we were looking at, wherein we labor, we may be accepted before the Lord. That's what I'm investing in. That's what I'm spending my time for. It ought not to be for man's applause, the things that we do and the decisions we make. You know, I'm investing in something. I'm investing in a heavenly home and a heavenly treasure. It may involve sacrifice here, and often it will. It may involve self-denial. It may involve me giving of my time, of my money or resources or whatever it is, saying no to the things that the flesh cries out for and wants, but I'm investing not here, I'm investing in something over there. And when we do the will of our Father, it says, your Father which seeth in secret will reward you openly. And you know, it would be a cheap reward if He rewarded us with a fat bank account. Think about it. It would be a cheap reward if that's what He gave us. People who preach a health and prosperity gospel, it would be a cheap gospel if that's all we were given. But we're given something so much better, of such greater value than the temporary, fleeting, passing away pleasures of this world. I believe in Ecclesiastes it talks about man going to his long home. This is our short home right here. However long our existence here may be, this is our short home. But we're going soon to our long one. Long being eternally long. So the scripture says, don't put your heart in that which is going to pass away. All the things that we see here, they're going to pass away. But put your hearts on, set your heart on something that's higher. Well, let's look at John, the 14th chapter, for a moment. Beautiful words of Christ. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be discouraged. Don't be cast down. And I believe the message is still to us today. We can get discouraged. We can become heavy laden. We can become cast down in our minds by the troubles of life. Let's lift up our eyes. He said, I go to prepare a place, and there is plenty of place in my Father's house. I believe, again, just like with the streets of gold, it's about much more than a 4-square house or mansion, however big. There is a place in our Father's kingdom in heaven, a place for us. We don't have to worry about it reaching occupancy, full occupancy. We don't have to worry about there not being enough room. There is so much that we don't know about what that'll be. But we can know the King of it. We can know the one who says, I'll be there. And I go to prepare and make a way for you and a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. Thank the Lord that there's a place for us. There is a heavenly country. Now I want to look at 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. The 9th verse says, "We know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known." Of all the things that the Lord has told us about heaven, the things that we understand of His paradise today, we really just see in part. We get glimpses of it. It's like seeing through, it says, a glass or a mirror or a window pane darkly. You can get a glimpse of it. You can get an idea of what it is. And the Lord really and truly has given us enough. Someone might say, well, if I knew more, if He'd just go, just outright tell me. The Lord has given us enough to know that there is a home waiting for me. To know it's where He is. To know it's splendid, it's wonderful, it's beautiful, it's joyful, beyond imagination. We have to believe today by faith. We see in part. You know the day is coming when faith will be lost in sight. Psalm number 32 says, when we'll explore it in the skies, we won't need faith anymore. We won't have to believe and hope for that which we see not. But it'll be lost in the sight. We'll see face to face. Where today we only get glimpses. And I believe darkly that word means like in riddles. To our human minds. Remember the ones who were reasoning about the resurrection. They didn't believe in the resurrection. And they were talking to Christ. And they were presenting a scenario to Him. And they said, Christ, if there is this resurrection, then imagine this man who's married and she dies and goes on and then he marries another and she dies and he marries another. In the resurrection, whose wife? Which wife is he going to have? And he says, you do err. You don't know the power of God. There's so much that you don't understand about this realm and about the power of God and the resurrection. You're totally off track. And when we are earthly minded, fleshly minded, carnally minded, we're not going to be able to receive the things that are given to us of God. It's going to seem foreign. It's going to seem far off. It's going to seem difficult and obscure. I heard from a man, met with a little group of us at work, and was talking about adopting a different approach to spreading the gospel. And he said, you know, this idea of heaven turns a lot of people off, turns them away. That doesn't even sound interesting. Who wants to go sit on a cloud somewhere strumming your harp throughout all eternity? Who wants to? That doesn't even sound desirable. I go back to what Jesus said, ye do err, not knowing the power of God, completely off base of what heaven is going to be. And we use heaven and paradise interchangeably. Just as a side note, it is our understanding from Scripture, Jesus taught, just like the man that was crucified next to Him, that believed and cried out to Him, this day you'll be with me in paradise or in the unseen world, the place of reward of both the wicked and the righteous. Of course, two distinct, very distinct places of paradise or of the unseen world. Oh, that realm of the departed spirits that are as the rich man in torment, knowing full well the full destruction that awaits them, knowing full well the eternal torment that is their reward. Oh, he lifted up his eyes and he saw afar off. He saw this poor beggar in Lazarus' bosom being comforted. There is that place that when we die, before the resurrection, we know assuredly that there is a place. That I'm not just going back to the dirt. The body is going back to clay and to dust, but the spirit is going back to God who gave it. And there my spirit will be comforted and joy beyond measure in the presence of the holy angels and Christ himself until the day that the Father says, it's finished. And he calls this world into judgment, and the resurrection occurs, and will inherit that heavenly home and country, joined together with our resurrected, glorified bodies, and forever will be with the Lord. And Paul said to the ones of Thessalonica, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Oh, do we find comfort in those words? Do we find comfort and encouragement from the promises? I was asked by those same young men in that country, this one of them said, is heaven a real place? Almost wistfully he asked, is heaven really a real place? I said, oh, have you ever been to the United States? No, I haven't. Do you believe it exists? Well, sure. How do you know that? Well, social media and people that have been there. And I said, oh, I want you to know, I believe it most assuredly, 100% I'm convinced. It is a real place, just as real as this place that we are today. Can't see it. I've not been there yet, but I know someone that's been there. And I know he came to earth from heaven and he told us about a place beyond compare, beyond measure, and said, I've got a place for you. That where I'm going, you may be also. And so today, we're still looking through the glass. I want to encourage us, let's look through the glass. And you know this plan of God. It says that the way of the wicked, the path of the wicked is as darkness. They don't know what they stumble at. They dwell in darkness here. And you know, really, in a sense, the afterlife is a continuation of what we have here. Not of the temporal things, but those who walk in darkness will be surrounded eternally by darkness. Those who have the torment of Satan's demons in their spirit will be forever tormented. But it says the path of the just is as a shining light. That light does not begin to shine the day we die. Oh, when light breaks in our souls and it floods our hearts with light, and there's something, it changes my perspective. The scripture it talks about, and Brother Kevin referenced it this morning, that the God of this world hath blinded the minds of those who believe not. They walk in darkness, their minds are blinded. But oh, when I came to Christ, he took away the scales from off of my heart, and he took away that veil of carnality, and I can see now clearly in the Spirit. And I can see light where before I saw only darkness. And the Lord's plan, as we've already read and referenced here, it's not that this hope that the Christian has is alive as a spark when we're saved, and over time it diminishes more and more and more. So enjoy it while it lasts. Isn't that really the nature of everything we have here in this earth? You buy a new car, and the joy and the excitement of having a new car and the new car smell, and it doesn't take but a couple years. The new car smell is gone. There's a few scratches and a dent or two in the side of it, and maybe a little bit of a rattle that I'm hearing underneath, and a few more years and I'm dripping oil, and it doesn't last very long, and the joy is gone. And You take these cell phones, and they have a much shorter shelf life. Within a year and the release of the next phone, suddenly the features of this one to many people no longer look that exciting, and I've got to go for the next one, and it diminishes. It loses its value. over time. You build a house and the same thing over the process of time. These things are temporary. They're temporal, the things that we see. But there is something of a nature entirely different. This body, we have our health and our strength for a season, and it begins to diminish and diminish and diminish until at last, as a wisp, we're gone. And even of the healthiest, sometimes beset by sickness and disease, because this is the temporary part of my existence, and it's going back to the dust. But if we can realize that the path of the just is as a shining light, that light shines within my spirit and it doesn't diminish. It doesn't get darker and darker and more feeble over time. The Lord's plan is that that light shine ever brighter in our soul. The closer, the longer I live for the Lord, the closer I get and the sweeter I find Him. And the sweeter I find Him, the closer I draw to Him. And the closer I draw to Him, the more real He becomes unto me. And it just, it builds on itself and it becomes more and more real unto me as the days go by. It says a light that shines brighter and brighter. And it's why Paul said, this outward man may perish, but the inward man is just made new over and over, day after day. It doesn't diminish. It doesn't grow weaker and weaker until the day that I die. What we have of our eternal nature, of our spirit, is through Christ to grow stronger and brighter as the days go by, until the day that our faith is lost in sight, until the day that the last vestiges of this body, of this flesh, crumble and fall away, and suddenly I am like a bird set free. Suddenly there's no more limitation of this body holding me down. No more can I not understand some things because my mind just can't wrap itself around. No more am I limited by what these earthly eyes can see. Remember, Elisha's servant that he was so troubled by seeing the army that was all around him, and he cried out to Elisha, "What shall we do? Oh Lord, open his eyes." You see, it was his eyes that were the limitation there, from being able to experience not something imaginary, but to be able to experience the absolute reality of that which is not seen through these earthly eyes. Lord, open his eyes. Help him to see for a moment. And he opened his eyes to be able to see a glimpse of that which is unseen. But folks, the day is coming that these eyes will not be shackling us anymore. I'll be able to see even face to face. All the questions are going to be gone. All the doubts in my mind, all the things that I say, "Lord, I believe, but help mine unbelief. Lord, there's some things I'm struggling with here. I'm holding on to what I do know and understand. But Lord, there's some things that I'm battling with here." I'm going to tell you, in that day, there will be no more battles. There will be no more struggles. There will be no more flesh versus spirit combating one another. In that day, the flesh will be gone. And the spirit, the raptured soul, will fly away to be unshackled in the presence of the Lord, no longer inhibited by this body and its limitations. I can only run so fast. I can't fly. I can only jump so high. Now, this is my imagination taking off, but I'm not going to be restricted over there. Oh, what will it be? Do you ever stop? Do you ever imagine what it'll be? I can remember in college, four and a half years that I was in college, it was difficult. It was a difficult degree that I was pursuing, and there were times that, I wondered if I'd make it through. Will I make it through this semester? Will I make it through this finals week? And there were so many times, I can't tell you, that I'd be sitting there laying down, and I would be playing in my mind that Pomp and Circumstance graduation song. And I'd be imagining, if I just get through this, one day I'll hear that. Folks, that's nothing. That's part of this temporary here. But if we can imagine in our minds, if we can play those songs of triumph in our heart and in our spirit, and imagine one of these days, it'll be ours. One of these days, that song will be ours to sing. One of these days, those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," it'll be mine to hear. Think of a song. Verdant Summerland, 134. "Is thy troubled heart oppressed, heavy laden, sick and sore, by the cares of life distressed, plead his promise o'er and o'er. Does thy star of hope grow dim? Canst thou face the stormy gale? Teach thy heart this sacred hymn. Through his grace I shall prevail. Look away across the sea to the shining golden strand. Then with shouts of victory firmly clasp this proffered hand. Soon thy happy soul shall be in that verdant summer land." So this morning I want to encourage us all, let's look away. "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help." Let's lift up our eyes this morning. Look away for a moment from the things of this earth and of this life. Look away into a land, a heavenly home that the Lord has prepared for those that love Him. There's a scripture I want to get in Isaiah before we close. Isaiah, the 33rd chapter, it says in the 17th verse, "Thine eyes shall see the King in His beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off." Maybe this was speaking literally of King Hezekiah and what the Lord was going to do for the kingdom. But I believe there's something in this for us of the heavenly kingdom that we can right here and right now, our eyes can through faith behold the King in His glory. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God," not only in that day, but in this life as well. And it says that your eyes shall behold the land that is very far off. So folks, let's lift up our eyes and behold the land that is very far off. And yet, it is so near. We didn't read it, but Scripture says concerning the Holy Spirit that He is given to us as an earnest of our inheritance. That we have an inheritance in this heavenly kingdom. And we've been given the deposit, the down payment of that right now. And it is through the Holy Spirit's indwelling and working in our life that causes us to enjoy the fruit of righteousness, that causes us to be able to understand and get glimpses of that which is spiritually discerned, to enjoy salvation to its fullest. And it is through the Holy Spirit that we get a taste. The Psalm, "Blessed Assurance," says, "Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine." We get a foretaste right here in this life. And it's why I say when we get over there that it'll sound familiar. And when in scenes of glory I sing a new, new song, 'twill be the old, old story that I have known so long. Folks, there's a heavenly welcome waiting for us. And I believe that there's some familiar faces in that cloud of witnesses. And I think it's part of God's design and plan. Oh, blessed are they that die in the Lord. I believe in Revelation, maybe the 14th chapter, it talks about they that die in their Lord, in the Lord, that they rest from their labors and their works do follow them. May the works of those that have gone before us follow after them and inspire us to follow. I can almost hear the voices. And as I think of the faces of those so familiar to me, I tell you, heaven gets sweeter. Yesterday was Mom's birthday, and it kind of brought it much closer to home. I felt inspired to write a poem. I'm not going to read it all to you, but I want to read just a little bit. So much we remember, yet look ahead. Not dwell in gloom, but hope instead. By faith through tears I strain to see your arms outstretched to welcome me. For now, by grace I'll carry on till night is past and day will dawn. Lord, comfort us in your own way as we think of Mom on this birthday. That's for me. That's something very personal to me. But I knew what her love was. I knew the comfort of her embrace. I can still hear the sound of her words of encouragement and comfort. I knew so personally and intimately the love that she had for me. And I know that's waiting over there. And I know that that which was so beautiful in her spirit was of God. And that's the entirety of what fills paradise. There's nothing of ugly spirits. There's nothing of hatred, resentment, bickering. There's nothing of the shadow of sin and its effects. All is peace forevermore on that blissful golden shore. And that which is so familiar, the warm embrace is waiting for me over there. And for every one of us, you see, Christ is just as real as my mother was. But I felt with these hands, I saw with these eyes what I now know is over there. And it makes it seem so much more real. But through the Spirit, we can know the reality of Christ's love for us. How close He can draw to us. And it can make that land seem so real to us. So may the Lord encourage and comfort us. Let's lift up our eyes and remember that there is a heavenly home and a heavenly chorus waiting to welcome us and usher us into the gates of paradise. I believe one scripture says, and so an abundance may be ministered unto you, or an entrance may be ministered unto you abundantly. I believe only through God's grace and keeping power we can have an assurance that one day those gates will swing open wide and I'll be welcomed into the presence of the holy angels and Christ Himself and the saints of God, the spirits of just men made perfect who have gone before. This causes me to say, Lord, I've got to make it. And every once in a while, I want to encourage you. Take the time to daydream about home. Take the time to imagine your heavenly home. There's a lot we don't know, but there are glimpses that He's given to us. Imagine, think on those things, and let's set our affections and our treasures over there. You pray for me. Amen.